Good morning. Today is Monday, the 24th of May. Joining us this morning, out of the blood bank, an escapee, John Kelton. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Are we having fun yet?
Absolutely.
All right.
Always.
I notice you've got your official wrap around the neck.
Yes, my lanyard.
Lanyard, yes. Oh, and we can tell who you are. You know, yes, Shallot used to do that, but his tie always turned.
Well.
So, you know, you're always looking to the goofy tie, not the badge. Have you heard much from Tom?
He's dropped in a couple of times to gloat.
No. Oh, yeah. Still recognizes some of the people there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of the way things are supposed to be, do you know why sailor suits are made the way that they are?
So you can tell them from the waiters?
Okay. Good. Scoring points with all kinds of military folks. Okay. The reason bell-bottom trousers were designed is to make it easy for a sailor to roll up his pants when swabbing the deck, and also to make it easier for him to slip out of his wet uniform if he finds himself in the water. The cap is designed for easy storage and to serve as a flotation device. It's made of canvas and is almost airtight when soaking wet. When the cap is thoroughly wet and the brim is turned down, it can be used to capture an air bubble and keep the sailor afloat. Some say that the large flat collar that lies across the back of the uniform was to protect the main part of the uniform from the tar and powder that early sailors used to put on their pigtails.
Interesting.
I don't think I'd ever put that stuff in my hair, but then again, I don't have to worry about
it. I was just going to say.
Let's just kind of slide on by. 3-day weekends for you guys are kind of like 3-day weekends for the CHP.
Well, there's
tradition here, there's trends here, and there's concerns here.
Yes, definitely. But we get to plan ahead. So what we'll be looking for this week is to shore up the inventory and going into the weekend. Usage might increase, but we've also got folks on vacation. So we're not expecting a lot of collections on Monday, but we will be open.
Oh, really? You're going to be open on Memorial Day?
Yeah, we'll be open 8 to 2 at the
Wearing your sailor uniform now that you've just kind of stepped in it?
Yeah, you bet. Okay. I'll be there.
Good.
we need blood every day, so we've started actually staying open on some holidays just because we never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So,
well, and for those, there's a convenience factor.
Yeah,
also,
absolutely.
Folks can't get there normally.
Yeah.
Are you guys open on Sundays?
We're not. We're
okay. Now wait a minute here. Okay. Well, hey, we'll work through that one during the break.
You know, we have to do what we can for our staff. I mean, so we've got
give somebody a Monday off. You know that.
Well, and I say we're not open on Sundays, but there's somebody there all the time. There's somebody in the lab doing something. We've got techs on call 24/7. So somebody's doing something all the time.
All right. Yeah. CYA was not part of that question. Have you seen changes in the pattern of blood usage, either volume? You know, I know we've talked before that you don't need as much per procedure as what historically was needed. Okay,
right.
That makes sense. But things like different months, different days of the week, things like that are a little bit bigger and broader over the last 5 years or so? I mean, last year's.
Last year gets a big asterisk.
Right.
I mean, I'm comparing this year to 2019 just because
most businesses
last year
are.
Was so strange.
Yeah.
But sure, we have, and mostly our variation comes on the supply end. We depend on the community for donations, and July and August are vacation time. Folks are out of town, folks are on the road. So July and August are always kind of a struggle. Just for folks to find the time to get in between. I mean,
but doctors are on vacation those days. time a little bit also. So
yeah, though our the red cell usage tends to follow trauma more than the
unscheduled versus scheduled.
Sure. Yeah, and then platelets are used year round. Cancer patients are not going to take a vacation from their from their treatment. So,
well, we hope not.
Yeah.
Or we hope so. Wait a minute. Permavacation. Meaning that they don't need it anymore.
Yeah. And then the big thing that's really was really a challenge this past year was about 25% of our annual collections come from high school and college campuses.
That was tough this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Though yesterday we had an in-house blood drive and we had 40 Eureka High kids come in to donate at the blood center, which we had planned, and we set it up because we couldn't go to the high school.
Hot dogs or hamburgers? Or
we
something?
Did. We had hot dogs.
Food always sells. Yes. You know that, don't you?
Yes. Primary motivator.
Yeah. Okay. So now that you got rid of the cookie thing.
We still have cookies. They're just wrapped in foil. But, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. So... Yeah. So things are starting to we're starting to look forward to going back to the chaos we called normal.
Do you have any thoughts about the young teenagers getting the vaccines? Reservations or concerns?
I don't. I think that the numbers, when you look at the numbers of people who've had serious side effects, and obviously there are gonna be. But I think they're so small compared to the millions and millions and millions of people who are getting the vaccines. And honestly, given what I know about dealing with the FDA, more than likely the delineations between ages and such have more to do with the paperwork that was filed than any physiological difference between a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, that one makes sense. I heard something last week that was saying that of the people that died, that an overwhelming majority were obese.
Interesting.
So there might be a secondary involved here instead of just catching it, but that there was...
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know if is obesity considered an underlying factor? I would suspect
I think
not.
It contributes to enough different things going on that any one of those might have been exacerbated.
Of course, then the question immediately is followed, who's obese? And then I'm not sure I want to know the answer to that one.
And why don't we take a quick break?
Yeah. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Sir John from the Blood Bank, Northern California Community Blood Bank.
Yes. Community. That's the most important part.
Well, I thought blood was.
You know, you can't have one without the other.
We can go outside and hold hands, but you know, it's not going to help anybody. That's right. We can hold hands now, too, can't we?
Yeah.
Might even be able to shake and hug and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Depending on who you pay attention to, right?
True.
And I suspect that that's part of the challenge you guys have got also is CDC, State of California.
Most restrictive.
Months ago, there was discussion, you know, believe the science. Well, that would then tend to default to the federal. However, not in California. So is there confusion or is it pretty well mapped out how everybody processes?
At this point, we've got a pretty clear idea of whose regulations we're bound by. And then when somebody comes out with something, we take a look at it and decide, okay, is Cal OSHA more restrictive?
Yeah, they're the lead dog now, aren't they?
For some things, because if they make a rule that's more restrictive than the CDC, we have to follow the more restrictive one so that we're in compliance with that one.
Just to throw a weird clinker, you're shipping to Oregon or you're shipping to Wyoming.
Okay.
California standards, Wyoming standards?
Federal standards. We're talking about a product. The drawing of the blood, what hours the employees work, all of that, California. But in order to, we have to be licensed by the Food and Drug Administration to ship interstate. So therefore, we're covered by their rules. Now, when it comes to how we do what we do, again, it's whichever one is more difficult.
Does that also hold true when all this goofy stuff is gone?
Yes. That sort of structure isn't new. It's that whether somebody's involved in something or not used to be a little bit more clear. And then this came along and everybody
had
an opinion.
Everybody wants a piece of it. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And so when Cal OSHA has an opinion, it's not an opinion. It's a rule or a law or a regulation.
Now, does everybody else also have that same ability?
Other
to have that influence?
Or?
No, oh. With the various regulators.
Well,
I mean, you've got FDA already. You've got some of these other things.
Sure. It depends. I mean, it depends.
Everybody's
kind of
piling on the
Yeah,
aisle.
I mean, we're an employer, so therefore we have to listen to OSHA. We're manufacturing biologics, so we have to have permission from somebody to do what we do.
So you guys are licensed by different entities, so to speak?
Yeah. In fact, we helped out a blood bank in Connecticut that needed some specific blood types and that we happen to have, and we had to get licensed by the state of Connecticut to do business in the state of Connecticut.
So before you could help out their people, you had to get licensed?
You can get an exemption, but if we're then going to have an ongoing
like a one-day blessing kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if they've got an emergency, we can send to them and then tell the FDA, this is what we did, this is why we did it. But if we're going to then be on their call list,
that's a different, not emergency stuff,
right,
or bailing
exactly.
the team out or
yeah.
something else.
And, you know, things have gone both directions with COVID. At the very beginning, America's Blood Centers, which is an organization that represents us and does some lobbying on our behalf, for want of a better word, they go to
it's
the
not
FDA.
A bad word.
They go to the FDA and they say, this is what we're going to hit you with this year. These are the rules we want to talk about getting changed. They had that at the beginning of last year, and the FDA looked at it and said, okay, done, which blew everybody's mind. I mean, these were things that they knew were on the radar. We'd already been looking at them for years. There were a lot of procedural hoops that have to be jumped through and opening things to input and having hearings and such. And rather than saying, we're going to put this off for a year, they said, you know, we need to help keep the blood supply safe.
I believe target of opportunity or window of opportunity could
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not make it simpler? Why not make it easier? Why not make it more likely for folks to be able to be helped out that need it? I mean, you'd like to think that was an ongoing standard.
It's been interesting. It's been an ongoing conversation because the FDA's mandate is to keep the blood supply as safe as possible, which means their target is zero risk.
Target or goal? Different.
Their mission. One of the things, and there have been things in the past few years that they've done that have been helpful to the industry and allowed us to access more donors. And if you go far enough to the right of the decimal, it might be a little bit less safe. There might be a one in a billion chance that something could happen. And they used to be in, they used to hold the position that no matter how far you go to the right of the decimal, if it's positive, if it makes it less safe, if the chance of somebody getting injured by a blood product is more than zero, the answer is no. And they've kind of backed off a little bit and kind of started looking at, okay, what are the consequences of us not having enough blood?
Yeah, or if so you look at the value versus the risk, I mean, there's an equation there.
Yeah, and so the ratio. The theory and the reality are kind of
starting to work together.
Yeah.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with John Gillum from Northern California Community Blood Bank.
Yes.
In Eureka.
Because we're all the community in the Northern California Community Blood Bank.
You've been eating your,
that work?
You've been eating your sprouts here, or
yeah.
What? It's interesting, John, considering a three-day weekend, and you have historical trends. You guys kind of sort of know. More traffic, percentages the same, more crashes. Okay, that's out on the roads. You can kind of pencil that one in. But I would suspect that there are other areas where people get in a situation where they need blood. They have absolutely nothing to do with travel.
Sure.
Do you see spikes on the three-day weekends for those also?
Not that are significant. One of the issues that we deal with is that when you start looking at statistics, we're such a small number that a huge change can happen because of one thing. In the Bay Area, if somebody uses 10 units of blood, that's not a – nobody notices
that. The needle doesn't move too much.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We have a traffic accident and 40 units of blood are used. We're getting – pretty low at that point. And one of the ways we deal with that is that we maintain a larger inventory than most other blood centers. Most centers...
Because of the isolation, the physical isolation we have? Or because, as you were kind of indicating, the normal usage is so small that one event can really...
Both.
...kick you in the teeth?
Absolutely a combination. And it's become harder to reach out to other centers and get blood products imported if we need them because... everybody is kind of squeaking by. The number of people donating blood is decreasing in the U.S.
Because of the last 14 months or just in general?
In general, the trend.
I wonder why.
I tell people we have the same issue as Social Security. We've got a bunch of people who paid in all of their lives who are starting to withdraw. The baby boomers have been our mainstay for the last 40 years. There isn't a generation coming up behind them who's giving as generously or is as large in raw numbers. When you have a smaller
generation.
The
universe, so to speak.
Yeah. We're trying to get the same amount from fewer people. And everybody's dealing with that in this country. So it used to be there was always something out there available if we needed it. I think as of today, we have twice as many airlines coming in as we did yesterday. But that's always an unknown. So transportation is always an issue. But yeah, if our 10-day inventory is what a large blood center's 2-day inventory would be. But we keep that much on hand because one accident, we can handle that. Two accidents, that's twice as much.
Right. Kind of starting to get on the thin edge.
Yeah. 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 So again, it's statistically, the smaller you are, the more one matters.
Both ways.
Yeah.
Giving as well as taking.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the things that we do is is we plan for just in case, and when it doesn't happen, we kind of tell people we have two missions. One is to meet the need of every patient in Humboldt or in Delaware County that needs blood products. The other is to do everything in our power to see that when somebody comes in and gives us their time, gives us their blood, that's going to go to a patient. It might not be a patient at St. Joe's or Sutter Coast, but what we're going to do is before those components reach their out date and have to get thrown away, we're going to find a hospital that has a patient who can use it. So we have that 10-day inventory that's constantly turning over because we're getting new donations. And then before those blood products reach their out date and might need to be thrown away, we'll send it somewhere. So we're actually sending blood products out of the county. And quite frankly, that helps our bottom line.
Isn't that kind of sexy, though, too?
Sure.
Yeah, we're sending blood to Louisiana. We're sending blood to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
You know, for the locals, I would think that that's, there's a little,
you know, if you go to Stanford,
exoticness to that.
If you, I think everybody in Humboldt and Delaware County knows somebody who's been in the hospital at Stanford. They're using our blood. They're one of the people that we work with because per capita, there are so many more hospital beds in urban areas. They've got more hospital beds than potential donors. There's so many hospitals in those areas, they can't possibly meet their own needs. So they're bringing in blood from somewhere else.
So why not have a formal affiliation with some of those?
Or, we do, and we have, some of them are contracts, some of them are handshakes.
It's just not exposed that much in the local area? Because I would think that'd be kind of cool. You got family living in the Bay Area, you come in and donate, and it could be them who are benefiting from your generosity right here in Eureka.
You know,
there's a compelling message there.
There is. And unfortunately, it's not a 5-second conversation. And so all of our donor recruiters have three versions of every story. We've got a 5-second version where we say, this is what happens. Then we have a 15 or 20-second explanation, then we've got a 5-minute explanation.
And then you got this talk show. Yeah, fine. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning. Blood banking a little bit, 3-day weekends a little bit, but end of the tunnel too, John.
Yeah.
John's from the blood bank. when that happens, obviously your guys' procedures and protocols may change or they may not change. You know, I mean, there's probably some positives that have come out of the whole process. Do you see that there's going to be a weight lifted? That all of a sudden you're going to start to have these businesses and et cetera, step up? The schools, I mean, that's 5 months away. You know, so yeah. If you're having to wait that long, I would think that there may not be an immediate change.
I think we've got a couple of things to deal with. One of them is folks who haven't been coming in because there is proximity. You are close to somebody when they're putting a needle in your arm. There's no getting around that.
No, you don't want to automate that one.
No. And we have actually, in the interest of social distancing, we've limited the capacity on our blood mobiles, which...
Has that been a factor?
Absolutely.
They've been having to stand around and wait?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we've kind of prided ourselves on is that we go to conferences or Zoom conferences or whatever, and hear colleagues
Rio
talking about
yes.
Hear colleagues talking about what do we do to keep the donors interested while they're waiting. We've put a priority on not keeping them waiting. So we are in some ways staff heavy on the front end. There are blood centers where you walk in and you don't see and you don't see a human. There are blood centers where
really?
You go in and you start typing in your name on a screen.
Okay.
We're not going to do that. We're going to have somebody greet you.
Like the appointment confirmation?
Yes. That's the first and then you can start the questionnaire.
Oh, okay.
We have questionnaires on a tablet, but you go in and somebody greets you. And we're not going to change that. That's who we are. But in our welcome center at the blood center, there are four chairs now. There used to be a dozen. And we've had people need to wait outside. And we'll go grab you, wait in the car, we'll come grab you when we're ready.
Yeah, that's a whole different feel, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're looking forward to one of the things we do.
Return to capacity.
Yes. And being able to spend time with individuals not behind masks and re-add the personal feeling. On the other hand, absolutely know that there are folks who have stepped up because they know that they're healthy and have donated more during this period of time. And we owe those people a tremendous amount.
Enough to have a barbecue for them too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A little celebration on June 15th, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Actually, we were looking at June 30th, possibly. We do a Wednesday night. We used to do family night.
Right.
And we've had to put that on hold. We're still open till 7 on Wednesdays, but we haven't invited folks to bring the kids, and we haven't been serving dinner. And we're going to start that back up June 30th.
Now, that's got to be weird, huh? Coming in and see mom or dad sitting down. So is there like daycare part of it or activities for those who aren't engaged?
We've got coloring books for the kids and we've got staff available that can hang out with the kids while mom's donating. And that's been not only successful because it's a time of day that works for people who have their kids in daycare and are at work and then daycare and then dinner. But it's also fun.
Yeah, I would think if it becomes a positive experience, it's kind of like going to the doctor, or the dentist, or I guess for your pets, the vet.
Yeah.
If it's a more positive than a negative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you're grooming future donators.
Absolutely.
Or donations or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if we can do stuff with kids, we've done stuff in the schools where we've gone in and talked about blood donation. And if those kids go home and say, why don't you donate, Mom? It's
kind of like the little trick with, why are you smoking?
Yeah.
You know what that means? Yeah.
So, yeah, a little.
PR.
Yeah. The more that blood is talked about, I mean, we've got two messages that we're always working on. One is, you know we need you. Get your butt on a blood mobile. The other is, you know blood's a thing, right? I mean, there are a tremendous number of people out there.
Versus a body part.
They've never thought twice about if they were in the hospital and they got blood, where did that blood come from? I mean, it's just not something that enters your consciousness.
Well, most of us
unless,
never. You don't see it.
Right.
Hopefully you're not waking up in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So you don't see it. Most of us don't see that kind of detail. I'm sure that the bills have that detail.
Yeah.
But you don't look at the, that.
Right.
Now, it would be interesting. I know you can't do it with HIPAA if the blood given had a name.
You know, we're working
on S. Jones from California or from Humboldt.
We're actually working on a program where we can send a tag on a unit of blood to the hospital. It has a barcode on it. It was actually developed by a blood center in Oklahoma. And they've got a system set up where somebody scans this barcode on a website and it sends us a notification and then they go on their phone and they can type out a thank you note. We get the thank you note with the encoded number that tells us who the donor is. The donor and the recipient don't meet. We can follow up and say to the recipient, would you be interested in meeting your donor? We'd always love to hear stories from folks who've received blood products.
That makes it more real and tangible.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, hopefully this is a very calm week, calm 3-day weekend, and we'll sail into June.
Yes.
All righty, bud. Thanks for coming
by. All right. Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.